Allegations of abuse, neglect, and sexual assault have plagued Wisconsin's Lincoln Hills Juvenile Correctional Facility this year. We'll hear from Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel in just a bit on the possibility of reopening a state investigation and possibly filing charges against staff.
But while Lincoln Hills has been in the news a lot this year, our next guest reports that there have been signs of trouble for much longer.
Patrick Marley covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been following this story closely and has laid out a detailed timeline of the issues at Lincoln Hills going back almost 4 years. His article is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's go back to the point in history when other juvenile facilities were merged with Lincoln Hills, inmates were moved there. Why did that happen?
So the state's inmate population for juveniles was dropping quite a bit year by year, and over less than a decade, half the number of inmates held by the state that were juveniles, it had dropped by half during that time. And so it just didn't make sense to continue to have these two large facilities. So Governor Doyle, before Governor Walker, started studying the issue. A task force concluded they needed to shut one of the two main prisons they had for juveniles. And when Governor Walker took over, they shut down both Ethan Allen, which is in Waukesha County, and Southern Oaks Girls School, which is in Racine County.
And under the Doyle administration, you write that there was a recommendation that this be done slowly and deliberately. Was that how it was done?
No, it was done quite quickly. In the beginning of 2011, Governor Walker took office and moved to close down Ethan Allen by that summer. So by July, you had everybody who was at Ethan Allen and Southern Oaks brought up to Lincoln Hills, 215 miles from Milwaukee.
We'll get into the impact of that in just a moment, but apparently there's a law that requires us to have a juvenile facility in northern Wisconsin in particular.
That's right. In 1970, Lincoln Hills opened, and before that, they passed a law that said that there needed to be a juvenile delinquent facility in a line that goes between La Crosse and Manitowoc, somewhere north of that. That was put in place by a state senator known as Tiny Krieger. He's from the area, represented the area where Lincoln Hills was, and wanted to make sure that they had a facility up there.
So these inmates, juvenile inmates, students, as they're referred to sometimes, are moved up to Lincoln Hills. Can you talk about the impact of that on the inmates themselves and on the staff at Lincoln Hills?
Well, the vast majority of inmates that are held by the state are from the Milwaukee, either from Milwaukee or southeastern Wisconsin. And so they're a long way from families. Many of them are lower income. It's difficult for them to get up there. So they are able to see their families less often than when they were at Ethan Allen. For the facility, it was a big change because they had this large influx of inmates, nearly doubled in population, and they had to go on a hiring spree. They got approval to bring in 100 more guards or youth counselors, as they're called there. But the prison is in a pretty remote location, and they struggle with hiring and retaining people. So that means a lot of overtime for staff in a very difficult working environment.
Yeah, you talked to some staff and union people there. Talk about the kind of overtime they were doing and how they felt it affected their lives and their jobs.
Sure. So it's pretty common to have to work a 16-hour shift and to have to do that, many days during a week. And so you talk to guards who talk about having trouble driving home. You know, some of them have an hour-long drive home, and after a shift like that in the middle of winter, might have difficulty staying awake. When you work long hours, your nerves can get a little frayed, and the population you're working with is definitely one that puts you into some intense situations. And so they raise concerns about how, when you're deprived of sleep, you can maybe react in a way that isn't the preferred way.
So you have this overworked staff, it sounds like, many of them new on the job after that hiring spree you mentioned, and then inmates coming in from a new facility, all of a sudden a whole new, in effect, a new element in the equation. Talk about what that part of it was like.
Right. So the one thing that they talked about during that transition period is that, prisons have a pecking order of who's the boss, who's in charge. And so you would have arguments, fights over, who was top dog, so to speak. There's sometimes gang or gang-like groups in prisons. And if you had two of the same branches of a group coming together, there would be disagreements over who was in charge at this new facility. So you had, some tensions among the inmates at that time.
So describe what life was like for the juveniles at this institution starting after the merger. What kind of things were going on before this started to surface?
Well, the problems seem rooted in this transition when you had this big increase in the inmate population there, and what we know now are, some very questionable things going on, including one guard getting in a fight with inmates, some injuries that occurred, suicide attempts, families not being contacted when these kinds of things were happening, law enforcement not being contacted. So it was sort of a snowball effect of bad things happened, and then there were bad responses to them, or there was they were overlooked by the staff and the management there.
Talking to Patrick Marley from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, getting the long view behind the recent events at the Lincoln Hills juvenile facility in northern Wisconsin. Some people were trying to raise red flags, Patrick, including a judge. Can you talk about what one judge did to try to alert the governor to what was going on there?
Sure. That was the time when the biggest sign of problems would have arrived in the governor's office. This is 8 months after the facility has transitioned to Lincoln Hills, and there's a Racine County youth who is sexually assaulted by his roommate and then beaten and knocked unconscious. The boy says he was unconscious for about an hour, gets up, alerts staff. They don't get him medical treatment for 3 hours or more, and The Social Services Department in Racine County learns about this, and no one from the prison contacts law enforcement about this assault and beating. It's the hospital staff that 6 hours after this happened tells the local law enforcement so that they can go investigate, and they ultimately charge the inmate who did it, and he was convicted. But the Racine County officials are not told by Lincoln Hills about this. They find out only that the victim of this crime was put into a segregation unit the next day for disruptive behavior, and they start asking about it. They're not getting responses. And then they get an anonymous letter from another inmate who knew him. They tell them what happened, and they investigate. And finally, Lincoln Hills comes clean and tells them about this. And when Racine County asks a psychologist up there, why did you wait so long to get this kid medical attention? The psychologist tells him that, well, there was a basketball game that day, and basketball is a big deal here. And the quote that he gave was, what did you want us to do, stop the basketball game? So the judge learns of all of this, and then he writes a short letter to the governor along with a 2 or 3 page fuller memo describing what happened, and tells the governor this is sorted. He's never seen anything like this in his 18 years on the bench. And the governor never saw that letter. His aides did not give it to the governor, and they left it for the Department of Corrections to handle. I talked to this judge recently. He said he never heard back from anyone about it, and he was very shocked that it wasn't taken more seriously.
What happened that finally made someone take this more seriously and start investigating?
So then Milwaukee County, a couple years later, in late 2014, starts learning about any number of abuses or allegations of abuses. And the Public Defender's Office learns about that, and they tell the Department of Corrections through the Milwaukee County DA's office. And so the Department of Corrections starts an internal investigation. Within a couple of months, alerts the State Department of Justice that they believe crimes are being committed. And the Department of Justice spends 10 months investigating with two agents who were working on the case part-time. We now know a number of abuses occurred during that time that were not apparently detected by the Department of Justice. And it is only when an inmate declines to go into his room and a staff member shoves him into the room and shuts his door and closes the door on his foot, causing him to ultimately have to have parts of two toes amputated, that all levels of government finally kind of kick into action and addressing it more seriously. And 6 days after that happens, the State Department of Justice descends on the facility with 50 agents and spends weeks up there interviewing staff and inmates.
So fast forward to today. What is the current state of affairs at Lincoln Hills?
So that raid I just described was a year ago. Soon after that, the State Department of Justice turns the investigation over to the FBI. The U.S. attorney recently told me that this investigation is continuing, that it's complex and taking a lot of time, but that they are taking it seriously and they are continuing to look at this.
Amid all this, you also talked to one national expert on juvenile corrections who said this idea of having one facility far away from the urban area is really going against the trend of where people are going in the United States.
Yes, the preferred model, experts will tell you, is to have small local facilities so that you can keep juvenile offenders close to their homes, where they have more family connections and more access to the actual services that they will get once they're out. They like to have very small ratio between the staff and the number of inmates. And that way they can treat it more as a sort of a treatment situation to try to bring down recidivism rates. That, of course, is an expensive effort, though, you know, Lincoln Hills is a very expensive endeavor as well. It costs about $100,000 a year to keep one inmate there.
And that reminds me, this is supposed to be not just a facility, a detention facility, but a school. And that was another concern raised, that many inmates not going to any kind of classes at all at some points, it sounds like.
Right. So in the center, so it's a campus essentially with a, you know, large fence and razor wire around it that have these small cottages that can each hold 25 inmates. And then they've got a high school in the middle of this where the kids go every day. Most of the kids go. Some that are in the segregated housing unit don't get to go there. And they have classes. You know, the Department of Corrections say that things are in order now, though they have some trouble retaining teachers, just like they have trouble getting guards there. But there were concerns earlier that kids weren't going to class on a routine basis, that when they would go to class, they were not getting quality instruction, that teachers would just show Hollywood movies, do whatever they could to just keep them in their chairs. And that is actually the issue that first raised the concerns of Milwaukee County that ultimately led to the internal investigation.
And now judges, especially in southeastern Wisconsin, it sounds like are in a quandary. They don't know. There's only one place they can send kids in some cases, and they don't want to send them there.
Right. So it's important to remember that people who go to Lincoln Hills have been, you know, it's not the first place someone is sent unless they've committed a very serious violent crime or that usually they're sent to group homes, they're sent to other community-based settings, and then they either run away or they have a continued series of problems or they have a string of very violent crimes, and that's what sends them to Lincoln Hills. And so, you know, judges we talk to say that they're, as you put it, they're in a quandary because they need to keep the public safe, and yet they are being asked to send them to a place that itself is suspected of abuse and negligence.
We'll leave it there for now. Patrick, thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thanks, Ron.
Patrick Marley covers state government and politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been following the Lincoln Hills story.
Part of the ongoing saga at Lincoln Hills was an investigation run by the Wisconsin Attorney General's office, which started early in 2015 but was turned over to the FBI earlier this year.
Until this week, the Attorney General had taken a hands-off approach since it was no longer a state investigation. Yesterday, according to reports, he gave indications that he would be open to considering a resumption of the state probe. I talked to Attorney General Brad Schimmel this morning. Attorney General Schimmel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're in the news this week of this ongoing scandal at Lincoln Hills. You are open to the idea of maybe of reopening the investigation here in Wisconsin. The FBI is still doing it, and maybe new charges. What's up?
Yeah, the story really isn't what it was made out to be when it came out. I was asked whether it was a possibility that the state could get involved again. We're 9 months into the federal investigation. I don't know what they are or are not doing. So I was asked whether it was possible the state could get back involved, and that is possible because the federal and state systems can both operate at the same time. It's duplicative. We don't want to be tripping over each other. So that is a potential at some point. I'm not under a big time crunch right now because we haven't heard since back in 2015 any youth correctional officers for whom there were allegations of abuse made. They were all removed. So we haven't heard any ongoing allegations of abuse. So as long as that's the case, then I don't feel under a great time pressure to step in. But at some point, we may do that again.
And I know Lincoln Hills is under the Department of Corrections, so it's not your department in a way, what happens to it in the future. And you've mentioned that. We've heard from judges, especially in southeastern Wisconsin, who are saying, there's only one place I can send some of these kids who've committed some serious crimes, and I don't know if I can send them there. Is that interfering with juvenile justice in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that depends on which judge you're in front of. For some, this decision is more difficult than others. The bottom line, and I echo something that the Milwaukee District Attorney said, is you don't get sent to Lincoln Hills easily, especially from Milwaukee County. The juvenile justice system attempts to take, and they have to by law, and it's the right thing to do, to use the least restrictive alternatives. You try supervision in their homes. Then you go to residential treatment often. You make other steps before you go to corrections with them. And so by the time they get committed to the juvenile corrections system at the Department of Corrections, they have really earned their way there.
We'll leave it here on that topic for now. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel talking about the Lincoln Hills Juvenile Corrections Facility. We'll hear more from the Attorney General on a variety of issues next week on the show. We also talked earlier to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Patrick Marley about the history behind the scandal at Lincoln Hills. You can find his reporting on the Central Time Facebook page.